decisions that you might not have made otherwise, right? Mm-hmm. Did you find that you were that was happening with you, that you were having to sort of like pivot in ways you wouldn't have expected and do things you maybe wouldn't have if things had gone like according to plan?
I guess so, yeah. I think that would be quite specifically, that was sort of what happened with my later episodes where I brought back my friend Tegan Smallwood and showcase my own work of sort of a audio play, audio kind of book style of one of their short stories that they had made. It wasn't necessarily a traditional collaboration as we had done in the previous episodes of where we... it was their writing, and then we all worked together and, like, talked about it. It was more, this was a fixed assignment that I had in my sound design course because I love, you know, obviously I put them on my show so many times. I love Tegan's work so much. So it was because of a last-minute thing of another guest not being able to make it, but at the same time we were still able to showcase the same principles of storytelling and kind of also bring back some conversations that we kind of put on the shelf for other previous episodes, like how we interact with trauma and how trauma is used in media, in indigenous film and TV, and how for a certain amount of time, I don't want to, like, not necessarily the sensationalized of trauma, but the sort of cinematic framing of, you know, horrific acts of history, how that was kind of like where all like the you know, the most notable indigenous films that were coming out in one certain time. I think of Indian Horse specifically. Like, that was the movie for us. And sort of we were able to have a conversation of like, when is it an over sensationalization or over exposure to horrific pasts? Or is it, you know, of course, at the same time, putting the power back to ourselves as artists and as writers that are framing these stories? And also, their story, Passion of Christ, was also a specific story of, I guess, vengeance and of someone taking back their own power in a graphic way, but in a very visceral way that kind of put the set points of that story forward. So in the end, it wasn't what I expected, but it was still very, like, and it was a fun alternative way to showcase what the show was meant to be.
And I think it brings an interest, well, alternative ways of collaboration, mm-hmm. right? And again, like, in that might not be in the way that you had expected. Mm-hmm. And to me, that is the joy of collaboration, right? Is that you can have your idea of what's going to happen and how it's supposed to go. And that might be completely different from the person you're collaborating with, right? And obviously, the hinge point of any collaboration is being able to find that sort of shared,
oh, yeah.
As I'm trying to like make a hinge with my hands yeah. to describe, but to find that shared vision or that shared understanding of how you work together. But that a lot of the time is just completely different from what each of you had going mm-hmm. in, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you think about collaboration, what does that mean to you? Like how, mm-hmm. how does that inform what you do?
Great question. When I collaborate, I guess in terms of like past assignments in school, we were kind of sort of, I guess, forced to collaborate in a very set structure that I think informs my way as well. For me, it usually begins at communication. I try to keep like close communication with whoever I'm collaborating like at the start to make sure that we, you know, the most that we can maintain like a similar brainwave and in most steps and especially at the beginning of a process. But in collaborating, I feel like, I mean, it goes down to it where like I get to bring in parts of me that this person may want to explore in their work and then the same thing with me. And so collaborating for me as a whole is kind of like getting to hang out with someone, but be able to have like a whole other beautiful merriment other than like a fun thing we talked about in our conversation. Also, it's a very big commitment. I've learned that very quickly in the School for Contemporary Arts, where you kind of have to form this relationship with this person, kind of always, you know, it's kind of like, it's almost like a romantic relationship where like when I hear my phone ding, I have to look and see if it's them. And if it's them, I have to reply very immediately. And, you know, you think about what they're thinking when you're looking at things and thinking about how they see it and how you guys will work on this together. It's a very intimate thing, definitely. But all in all, it's challenging, but all in all, it's very rewardful and very fun.
Mm-hmm. That's sort of like, excuse me, like shared perception, mm-hmm. or even the, like, I don't know if anxiety is the right word, but the like the worrying about another's perception is, mm-hmm. like you said, like so relationship, like romantic relationship coded, but is, yeah, such a huge part of that sort of artistic collaboration, mm-hmm. that, and you know, you have, there's a lot of vulnerability there, mm-hmm. as well, right?
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
We talked a little bit earlier about what you learned through this process. Is there anything that you hope to be able to sort of carry forward from this project into your future work?
I guess this is quite like obvious of a choice, but not being afraid to ask crazy questions, mm-hmm. not being afraid to, I guess, say what we're all thinking when it comes to like discussions on certain topics. I think I kind of use this show as like my excuse to talk to my fellow students about certain topics that, say, I don't know if we'd necessarily feel uncomfortable to say it like in public or on school grounds per se, but you know, getting to talk about it over like Zoom, we're both in our bedrooms being like, hey, how do you feel about what they're doing about this? I feel like I somehow got lost in my mind. What did you say?
just if there's anything you hope to take from this experience.
Oh, yeah. I feel like having more of a say, and kind of like through my show, I kind of realized that I can have more, I can be more outspoken. I can let my voice be heard, because, I mean, another school avenue has allowed me to voice my opinion, so what's so different than walking up to someone's office and be like, hey, I have something to say, mm-hmm. you know? It definitely gave me that push that I really appreciated.
Yeah, well, and I think that's one of the things with radio and with conversation is that, yeah, you can take this thing that you might think is just your thought, or mm-hmm. just something that you're interested in or want to talk about, and you can see that you get that interest reflected back at you, right?
Yeah.
Or you get that moment of like, oh, you want to talk about that too?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, I have so many things to say about this, right?
Yeah, I remember talking to Kalia and being like, does it also make you feel insane? And she's like,
yeah.
I wouldn't say insane, but it does make me feel a little uneasy. And I was like, right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's very validating.
Well, and I think particularly like in your specific context and in the context of, you know, working in this colonial institution and trying to be yourself and tell your own story and channel your own art while also in this weird system that in many ways is sort of designed to push that down,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm. Definitely, yeah.
Okay. I don't want to make you like pick your favorite child or whatever, but are there specific moments when you look back at the project, are there specific moments or things that you know really stand out to you, or that really are fixed in your memory of, you know, it might be moments in the show, it might be moments in like producing the show or in research or anything that really like jumps out to you?
I think I did talk about this a lot in my final episode a lot. I kind of focused on like the through line that all the episodes really had. But I guess I really liked how all three of the conversations kind of steered into one kind of funnel discussion on like Indigenous people's relationship with colonial academic institutions. And I feel like the diverse experiences that were highlighted between, I guess, the four of us, was quite interesting to see. Specifically, I loved highlighting my friend Anung Benesi's story, where he talked about how he took a step back from doing, I think it was percussion performance degree at an institution. And hearing the story about, because, you know, we, I guess, I wouldn't want to say, like, specifically as Indigenous people, maybe, like, marginalized folks of any degree. University is always seen as, like, that's, like, the crazy big thing. Like, that's kind of, like, the golden door that opens you up to be just like everyone else, in a way. That was kind of how I saw growing up. That's why I didn't realize I wanted to go until the very last minute that I wanted to go to university. Where, in their story, they realized that it wasn't doing them any good. It wasn't doing them good academically, mentally, spiritually, and also creatively in general. And how going back home, going back to their reserve, was allowing them to be more like themselves, and how kind of connecting with them recently, they've actually been able to get a lot of work in their community, and they've been really having a fulfilling time working in, like, I think it was in, like, childcare fields in their area and in their community, and how they're kind of able to thrive in their own way, and they're able to financially support themselves in a whole different avenue. And I wanted to showcase that just to kind of be, like, to say to people who see post-secondary institutions as, like, the be-all, end-all, or this big, scary thing, or this answer to everything, or the answer to a bright future, kind of, like, you, there are many different situations in which you will be just fine. And you not doing this is completely fine. If you feel called to this, you can. But if you don't at some point, that's totally okay. Similar to my guest, Tegan, as well. Like, they dropped out of university as well because they it didn't feel good to stay, and it was, like, harming their mental health. And similarly, they also felt like university was the be-all, end-all, and kind of, like, the thing that they needed to do to be able to have, say, a normal, comfortable life, which is true for many people. But it was nice to show that there's still, like, the light at the end of the tunnel if you don't decide to, like, sign your life away for 4 years plus, you know? It was very nice to... I think maybe specifically because it answered a lot of questions for me. And knowing that it answered a lot of questions for me and kind of, like, calmed me down and, like, little anxieties that I've been carrying since starting this degree, that's why I wanted specifically to showcase that to everyone and, like, the audience in general, yeah.
And I think there's, I mean, many, but particularly, like, a really good lesson there that... you know, for each person's specific situation, that, you know, maybe university wasn't the thing, right? Maybe whatever situation you're in, if it's not, and if it's not bringing you joy, or, you know, if it's not making you feel good, if you don't feel good about it, that, like, changing that situation is okay, right? And that, you know, dropping out of university isn't inherently a bad thing, right? That it might be the right thing, that you know, changing what you're doing, you know, there's for so long in the political sphere, the idea of, like, a flip-flopper or flip-flopping is the worst thing you can do, when it's like, what, you changed your position based on new information? What a terrible idea, right? Like, no, that's what we should be doing, right? And so I think, yeah, it's really great to highlight stories like that where, you know, like, good job for going and trying and seeing that if that was the thing for you, but it's not for everyone. It's a, like, well, very expensive. And, you know, even for myself, you know, I stuck with my university degree all the way through. I have a degree in archaeology. And I have never worked a day as an archaeologist in my life, but I persisted through the degree and got the degree. And, you know, I'm sure that that is part of the reason that I have gotten certain jobs and things. But at the end of the day, it was also kind of just an expensive way to meet friends and get connections and all of that. And that's not always worth it. Right? So, yeah, I think it's really... really good to be able to tell and share stories of people who are successful, even if they did not complete the university degree. Because I also think that, you know, in different contexts and to different extents, you know, for me growing up, university was presented as, like, this is what you do. Like, you have to do this. And if you don't do this, well, then, like, you're not going to be successful. Like, you might have to, like, work a trade or whatever. And that was, like, seen as, presented as, like, a bad thing or whatever, yeah. right? Where it's just not everyone's going to be an academic. Mm-hmm. Not everyone's going to enjoy the process of school and or enjoy what that process prepares you for either, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so...
Yeah. And like specifically for me, like I wasn't raised in a household in which they're like, this is what you do, this is what you have to do, this is the through line. It was mainly like because of the situation that we're in, because of like our socioeconomic status and like who we were in the world and many different pyramids of identity politics. It was more of like, you can do whatever you want. But I think my dad specifically was like, I would love for you to go to university. Because mm-hmm. it's like also like, it is... Obviously, university is a great thing, but I think there's also another thing to talk about when we're talking about, like, people of, I guess, I can speak specifically to Indigenous people, where we're kind of working within a colonialist game, where it sort of feels like, in a sense, where we feel like we need to go to university, we need to go to these big, big institutions, is sort of like... You need to show that you can succeed in the white man's game. Mm-hmm. You need to show that, like, you can still, you know, prevail through it all. And, yeah, I don't, of course, for many obvious reasons, I do not mess with that. Mm-hmm. But, of course, at the same time, being someone that has, you know, I've, you know, enjoyed doing my degree, but, of course, at the same time, being who I am and the position that I hold at SFU, where it is right now, Of course, some days I'm just like, why am I doing this? and many days it's like, what is this all for at the end of the day if it's just going to make me in debt and just perpetually tired for the rest of my life? But at the same time, I'm very grateful that, at least for me, it's definitely opened doors for me, both like figuring out what I want to do with my life and opportunities in what I want to do with my life, but also, of course, like the classic things, you know, it's like the early 2000s rom-com, you know, I'm discovering myself and all that through my academics, which I am very grateful for to have in my experience specifically.
Yeah. But again, not for everyone.
Exactly.
And I think we would probably be better off I was going to say as a society, but come on. I think we'd all be better off if it was less de-emphasized, maybe, right? Mm-hmm. If it was not necessarily given the place in the cultural zeitgeist of, like you're saying, like both being this sort of like, not checkmark, but this like, hey, see, I can do this too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Right? That's a perfect way to put it.
And... Again, like, hopefully you are getting education, right? Like, you're learning things, you're getting connections, all of these things. And also, it happened to bring you to the radio station.
And that's what I'm saying.
This brought me to the radio station, too. Okay, let's do one more music break, and then we'll come back and wrap up. This is a track by WAC, who are a local rock/funk/whatever band. This one is called Horses. Welcome back to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. I'm Jesse, here with Caitlin. Hello again.
Hello.
We're here to wrap up an hour where we've been talking about your program, Manukmi. And I guess I want to just sort of ask very broadly, what's next for you? what are you doing now? What are you looking forward to, etc.?
What I'm doing now? Well, I'm waking up, doing what many young people in this area are doing. They're waking up, they're applying to jobs, and they're waiting to hear back. In the meantime, I'm watching a lot of Hell's Kitchen. But creatively, I'm trying to work towards, there's this album that I've been trying to finish for like the past year or so. I keep blaming it on school, but then I realize that my music and sound program is literally to make my own music, so I can't really use that excuse anymore. But they're not assignments. But yeah, I'm working on this album right now. It's kind of mainly like I'm kind of going back into like doing more guitar stuff, more folk based stuff, but I'm also having a lot of fun with synths and beat making and stuff, kind of just using up all the knowledge that my program has given to me and just squeezing it into one big album. And I've been really kind of amping up towards my final project that I have to do for the Music and Sound program. It's two performances I'm pretty sure that I have to do this coming fall semester and spring semester, where it's kind of just like my culminating project that kind of wraps up all the things I've been doing here at the music school. So I'm kind of just like mentally preparing with that, with this album specifically. I'm kind of focusing a little bit more on like the visual aspect than like the sonic aspect, which maybe is a bit irresponsible, but hey, gotta think of a costume when you're having a boring day. I'm doing that, and I guess in relation to that, I've been getting into embroidery. I was able in my race and sexuality seminar in the spring, we were able to go to the Makers Commons in the library. And guys, wake up. You guys can learn embroidery and how to sew at the library at SFU. Get on that. So I learned some embroidery, and so I've been doing some designs and stuff, altering some of my clothing. A friend of mine, I know we're wrapping up, but I want to mention this. A friend of mine who also goes to SCA for music, he runs this summer art challenge where you kind of give them your pseudonym and a username and a password, and you basically commit to do one piece of art like every single day of June with like a through line, like a thematic through line. And so I did embroidery, which was very interesting for me to commit to for a full month. And the theme was like kind of similar to Manukmi. The theme was kind of like academia and like my place in it. So I embroidered a lot of pencils, a few late slips. I embroidered a sign up sheet. Very, very, very far out stuff that's going down in my house. But altogether, just kind of hanging out, trying to be more creative with the time that I have. And yeah, and just enjoying the weather while I can.
Great. Well, I mean, that sounds like a great summer. Yeah. I'm excited to hear what comes from either that album or whatever other art you end up producing. Send it our way. We'll put it on the radio if it's audio or something we can describe. We'll talk about it. And thank you very much for joining me this hour. Any last thoughts in our last sort of 30 seconds?
Guys, bring back radio. There's too many podcasts going on right now. We need to go, guys, listen to your local radio stations. It's like podcasts, but you feel time passing by more because it's live. I guess that's not that much of a collected thought, but that's what I have to say.
We'll take it. Listen to the radio. Lots of great radio coming up here on CJSF all the rest of the day. So stick around. Democracy Now! Is up next. Tomorrow on Speak Up, Stella and Hallelujah, our summer hires, will be introducing themselves. So come back for that. Stick around. And once again, thanks, Caitlin.
Thank you.